Welcome back into ESPN West Palm. We are live here at the ACC kickoff. Thank you to the Orange Bowl and Duffy's. We are joined by Duke head football coach David Cutcliffe. Coach, it's been an interesting year to say the least, right?
Well, without a doubt. This is my 46th season and starting. And I would say in the 45th, I did more things I had never done before than the previous 44, that's for sure.
How hard was going through, I mean, we're going to take the personal level of the pandemic. Let's just go to football of it all. How hard was, which seems so inconsequential, but how hard was it being a football coach during something that the world hasn't seen in 100 years?
Yeah, I think it probably was as much as anything related to your institution, and Duke took a different approach than really most anyone else. So we were without our players for almost 5 months. And that proved to be the most difficult thing, was to get a group back in later July. Yep. And try to get a team ready to start practice the 1st of August and then start playing games. And so, and I found myself, because of the strictness of our protocol, and we were in two different locker rooms, I think I probably spent way too much time in hindsight worrying about protocol as opposed to realizing that we had a big challenge in just trying to get a team ready to play.
Yeah, I mean, but what can you do in that spot? It's not something – there's no coach's handbook. We've so many great coaching books out there. None of them cover a pandemic. At what point in the year did that start to hit you? Like, oh, man, maybe I should have made some adjustments, or – you know, now we're just kind of rolling, and it started to turn into a football season again.
Well, we opened it at Notre Dame and played well early. And then when the first three or four games, we suffered as many injuries as we did. I started feeling really guilty about our players. Did we spend enough time conditioning, enough time really focused on what we were doing on the field, and needed to do a little bit less with what we were worried about protocol off the field? And, you know, it hit mid-season, and you knew our team was out of gas. And so, yeah, I've started looking at notes, writing notes, trying to learn something from a very difficult circumstance that maybe never happens again. I doubt I'll be coaching 100 years from now.
You never know.
But, hey, world changes regularly, right?
Now – so everything seemed like it was starting to get back to normal, and then name, image, and likeness came around the NILs. How has that been for coaches in regards to advising the players? Because I'll tell you, I'm more in the high school world also, and I had to yell at companies, basically DM companies who I have no relationship with, because they were almost getting high school kids in trouble trying to take advantage of them. How has it been for you and your coaching staff?
Well, I have a son who's a head high school football coach, and so he and I had talked a lot about this moving forward. I was a member of the football oversight committee as this was all being really coming to reality. So we did a lot of conversation. And I think the thing that I would tell all young people is that be careful of any third party. It's not a necessity. And name, image, and likeness should not be about recruiting. That's not what the whole issue is about. I'm 100% for guys being able to make a reasonable amount of money. They can do it on their own with social media or giving private lessons. And, you know, that's a positive thing. They've earned that. When you start getting into third parties, and particularly high schools or parents start getting into this, you can end up signing something that's for perpetuity. You end up being owned.
Yep.
And so our guys have been great. They're moving slow. They're trying to learn a little bit more before they jump at anything. And so I just think that we're all going to learn as it goes if you're smart about this.
Now, two guys whose name, image are everywhere are the Manning brothers. They're going to be now doing a simulcast of Monday Night Football for ESPN. I need your opinion. You know them well. Who's going to be better, Peyton or Eli?
Oh, they will be a tag team, and that's what I've had to deal with. When I'm with both of them through the years, when they would come in the offseason, we always did a lot of work together. They're brutal when they're together. So everybody better be on their toes, but they're great football people. And what I love about both Eli and Peyton, is that they have such a great love of football and great knowledge. I think the fans are going to be the ones that benefit from this.
That's what I think. Because I think the one thing they do is they explain things down to a level where everyone can understand. But also when you secretly look at it, it's so intelligent, which gives you a little look into their mind. Going one more pro guy, because we are in Florida, but a lot of New Yorkers live there. Daniel Jones, this is going to be a big year for him. How do you think he's done so far, and where can you see him going moving forward for the Giants?
Well, he was in, I guess, last week before. We did a lot of extensive work, and like I've always done with my guys, and go through film, and he's done really well, let's face it. Now, the Giants have some holes and issues, and that creates some holes and issues for him, but he's got to focus on himself. He's been in two different systems, which is not easy in your first 2 years. But he's got to be a little more assertive about what you like. And that's what I did both with Peyton and Eli. Let's talk about what you're the functional part.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. And I would always tell Eli, in New York, you're the one that's going to be roasted. Okay. So let's put yourself in a position to be successful. And I think Daniel is reaching a little more maturity in that regard. He looks great. He's throwing the heck out of it. He's strong. We talked a lot about pocket movement, timing, the mechanism, 3 seconds or less. And, you know, that's the world that they live in. Those defensive linemen, they get paid a lot of money to do what they do, too. And the timing mechanism, as I look at Daniel, and then just maintaining your fundamentals as you go through this. And I thought he had a great week with us, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Now, Duke has a coaching legend in yourself, but they also have Mike Krzyzewski on the other side. He's stepping down. How has that decision been for the athletic department?
Well, I think everybody knew at some point it was coming, and I kind of precedingly knew that we were at that point. I think it's got to be a celebration, and, you know, I'm excited for John Shire.
Yep.
I think Coach making that really kind of occur is important. You know, when you follow a legend, if you go outside, I can't give you an example of how it worked. Let's go to Wooden. You can do it in football, Coach Bryant. And I think the transition in-house is the right way to go, and I think Coach knew that. And I think he's leaving the place a lot better than he found it.
Coach, you're ready to be taken to another destination, but really quick, your outlook on this year from – again, trying to return to normalcy and having a regular football season.
I've had a great summer just because we've been able to be around our players. I love this team's spirit, attitude, and we have depth and some competition, which makes you better at every position. So I'm excited about the opportunity and the possibilities, but I got a lot of work still left to do before we start playing games.
Coach, thank you so much for your time.
Enjoyed it.